We gather together. I'm a little bit late, but if we could get started. We're on agenda item number 6, Centerville City Hunting Closure Proposal. Neil Worsley, our Centerville Police Chief. Is he here? Right there, okay.
No, I'll just get out of here for you so you can. Froze up.
Escape should kick you out of it.
Well, I'm not the computer guy, so.
Don't anger.
Now we have no signal.
Neither do we.
Stacy, outer darkness. My screen is black.
As is your soul.
John, you need to never, ever try to one up on her. Buddy.
You know, I.
Bam.
That's
bam,
his year
bam.
Soul. That was actually very funny.
I'll be here all week.
That was very funny. I had no idea that the demon spawn had a sense of humor. Yes. Oh, here we go. Let me guess, you didn't major in computer science?
Went to snow.
Yeah.
Miles.
It's a lot of damage.
Have over back and forth.
Go ahead.
Are we ready?
We're ready.
Bill Worsley, police chief for Centerville. Hopefully I'm here representing Centerville hunters, recreationalists, bicyclists, joggers. Our proposal is that we close to hunting certain parts of Centerville City. As we go through this PowerPoint, hopefully you will see why the majority, it's my understanding, this thing's still not working, there we go, that you have a screen in front of you that is seeing what I'm seeing, but did you get a copy of the pamphlet in advance so you had the opportunity to read our request letter, the letters we've sent out? So really what we're looking at is the areas that we would be proposing to close to hunting plus the ordinance, if I'm seeing this correctly. So I'll go through the request letter. Our proposed ordinance is there. If you look at it, there's a couple of things that are contrary to hunting completely. We did not want to just encompass the whole hunting ordinance because we want people to be able to fish in the streams. We do have a lot of nuisance problems. We do have people trapping raccoons, skunks, mostly under the direction of animal control. But we did not want to ban that completely, and we wanted to give wildlife the opportunity to control problems that they are having within our city. So that's why the ordinance was drafted the way it was, and just not banning hunting completely in these areas. The next slide is the map of the city, and the dotted black outline is our city boundaries. The next one shows the areas that would be unlawful to hunt in due to the 600-foot buffer zone. So anything that's black here is within 600 feet of a structure, dwelling, barn, corrals. The next slide is the one that brings us into question. This piece of property we're looking at that's blacked out is all privately owned. There are several different owners of this property who are working toward development down there as we speak. The owners want to have this property closed. For the most part, it's been posted. They lose their signs. The posting goes away. We deal with a few hunters. They've worked with the city in concert to have this particular area closed to hunting. The red lines that go through this property are trails, future trails, that the city is encouraging people to use for jogging, bicycles, part of the Legacy Parkway Trail, and so forth. So there is a lot of recreational use that's being used down there on the trail systems themselves. So you go to the next slide. If we take in that piece of private property or the privately owned property, that's what you get, and it blacks out what we're asking to be closed to hunting completely. The city currently has an ordinance in place that bans any discharge of firearms within the city limits, so that's where the hunting closure needs to come into play. From there, I placed a copy of the request letters that were sent out, and then the next slides go through and outline the actual property that these individuals own. There's two properties that were placed in there that do not have signatures on. Calvin Smooth's property, I've spoken to him on a number of occasions. I just can't catch up to him. He's a snowbird type of guy. Right now he's in St. George. However, if there was a question with him, his phone number is attached to that. And a piece of property owned by Dr. Jed Nesbitt up in Ogden, and he's also agreed to it. He just hasn't signed the sheet. It's a very small piece on the southwest corner of this property. So what we would propose is that if we go back to the blacked out portion of this map, that the Sheep Road, which borders this Legacy Preserve area, and the Firebreak Road, which is the yellow line, let me go back even one more, the yellow line on the east side of the city to be the areas close to hunting. This would leave in place the Farmington Bay area that is accessible at this point by going west from the bottom of Parrish Lane. Gets them out into the bay and they can hunt ducks. Through our public hearings, the majority that was brought up is that they want access to Farmington Bay. The reason originally that we'd close that out is that is Legacy Parkway or Legacy Preserve, and it is posted no hunting, no shooting. But there is a entrance area on the very south end of that that people can walk down through at this point and shoot. So that would be our proposals, just shut down that area, leave the bay open, leave anything east of the Firebreak Road open. It would be some very definitive lines that people can look at and see and go from there.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Justin, could you give us your input? I'm just looking at that letter from you.
All letter from you.
I look at those maps just trying to figure out where, what's your proposal saying?
Yeah, Justin Doling, Regional Supervisor, I think you've all received a copy of my letter, and essentially we support this proposal as it's defined, and that would be those areas of the city. We would recommend that they are closed to hunting, with the exception of those annexed areas west of Sheep Road or east of the Firebreak Road. And so we've worked with Centerville City and feel comfortable with this proposal as presented.
Let me just... because I'm not from there. The black line, I'm looking at the east side of the property. The black line, that's the out. So you're saying that is the Firebreak Road or Firebreak Road?
The black line that you're looking at that's all squiggly there is the city border.
Okay.
That is the city boundary. The yellow line that comes through, and I know it's a little hard to see there, but there is a yellow line. It kind of follows the black line, then comes east of it a little bit. That is the Firebreak Road. And as we were looking at what we would define this as, that is a definite position that people are familiar with there. And according to the 600-foot mark, most of the Firebreak Road is right there.
Right. Got anything to add to that, Justin?
Oh, no, we feel comfortable with the Firebreak Road as a strong delineation, even though some of the city is actually east of that, the incorporated city, and the city does own property east of that road that would still remain open to hunting. And because it's a strong demarcation, we feel comfortable with that as being a boundary.
Any questions from the board? Northern Region, Robert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am a resident of Centerville, so I could possibly give you a little feel for the Firebreak Road does go along the foothills there, and it's quite steep east of there, so that's really where people can travel. I did attend the public hearings with the city when a lot of waterfowl hunters were there expressing their concerns about the east or west of the Sheep Road, and it's become a very agreeable boundary for the waterfowl groups and the city, I think, as far as determining what that boundary would be. Okay. The Northern Regional Advisory Council did hear this. Our motion is to recommend the Wildlife Board approve. And let's see, recommend the Wildlife Board approve the Centerville City hunting closure proposal as presented, and it passed unanimously.
Okay. What you got, Ernie? Anything? Hey, anybody in the audience have any comment regarding that? Have no comment cards. If not, I'll go to board discussion and a motion.
Try and make up some time. I'll move that we accept the Centerville City hunting closure proposal as presented.
Have a second? Motion made to accept the Centerville proposal for closure for hunting.
I'll just say I sure don't like voting on stuff to close stuff to hunting. It's just not in my DNA to do so, but this seems to be pretty well thought out and a pretty extensive process and pretty common sense, so I don't think we're chiseling anybody out of their family traditions or anything. I think this thing to do, so.
Okay, thank you. So a motion been made, motion seconded to accept the proposal. All in favor? Aye. Unanimous then? Okay, we'll move on. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Justin.
If I get pulled over in your city, I'm going to remind you that I voted for your proposal here. So,
you know, I've got about 8 of those from the Northern Rock meeting. Thank you.
Okay, item number 7, conservation permit audit. Greg? He's done with his board.
Hold on. I copied the wrong one over. Do you want to go over the convention permit history now, or should we just stick to the conservation permit? Got too many things on the screen.
Yeah.
We know the history. Just give us the nuts and bolts and let's get on with it.
Here it is. Had the wrong tab on there. Sorry about that. Try this one instead. We've done convention enough this year, I think.
We got a battery of attorneys waiting for us to hurry up.
Okay, I can get through this really quickly because it went really well this year. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and board members. This is a review of the 2012 conservation permit audit. Back in 2004, the board passed a rule that allowed the organizations to retain 60% of the funds that they collected from conservation permits. They directed and ruled that we'd have an annual audit of that to verify the accountability of those funds. Since then, we've performed those audits each year and look at revenues generated and that they're being accounted for, that separate bank accounting practices, project approvals as required in the rule, and that unexpended funds were accounted for. Again, we've done this for the past 8 years. Fortunately now, I believe all these are all the same groups that we've done for all of these years that we've had this audit program in place. So they're all very familiar with it. We're not really plowing a lot of new ground with folks here. And so they work, I believe, very well all year long to make sure they're following these processes properly. I've got copies over at the table if anybody would like a copy of these. So I do want that to be on the record that this is, these audits of all of the groups are available here and now to the public if they want a copy. And if someone wants one later, I'll be glad to send them one. The cover of that is a summary table. And I'm not going to go through all these different numbers, but you can go get a hard copy if you want. But essentially, it addresses how many permits we issued last year, the total amount of revenue, which was $2.8 million last year, which was up about $400,000 from the prior year. So I think it was a very good year for the organizations. We've listed the amount of funds that they're able to retain. One change we did this year, and a rule was passed back in May or so that kicked in August, where we came to an agreement, I guess, as part of that new rule that we would charge them or bill them for the amount of projects that they agreed to as we came to that agreement. In the past, we'd come to an agreement, and then sometime in the next year or so when those projects were complete, we'd go bill them. So the change we've made under that rule is that we'd collect the money now. So we actually collected, as part of a review of this audit process, all the money from their 2012 projects and all the money from the 2013 projects. So we wouldn't see that again next year. It would just be 1 year being collected. But because we did that, you can see it drew the funds down quite significantly over on the far right columns. And based on that, everybody was in good shape. They had all the money. We go through bank statements and go right down to the penny on this so that there's a high level of accountability. And all the groups have done a very good job. We don't really have any recommendations. The only thing that we noted, if you do go through and read these audits, is SCI Safari Club used to give us back 100% of their funds. So they weren't retaining anything, so they weren't really keeping accounts and things because they would just give us the money. This year they actually elected to keep about 3%, so we've made sure they've had separate accounts and different things to be accountable for these funds. So that'd be the only thing you may read about if you went through these. So at this point in time, we don't have any further recommendations, and we're appreciative of the groups that helped out. I also want to thank Sarah Scott, who's back here in the room, who did most of the work on these audits and work with the groups, and she really put most of this together, and I want to thank her for that. So that's all I've got today.
One question. Where would one go to find a listing of the projects that were done?
We have that. We can make that available to you. One of the things that Kevin Bundle is going to get up in a minute is part of our annual report, and I think it's the next agenda item. He's going to put that on the website annually. So, and we've had that out there, but we're trying to get it a little more streamlined so it can align itself with this audit process and all. But we've made that pretty readily available through a variety of things. So,
any other questions from the board? We got any? Go ahead, Ernie.
I'll move we accept the conservation permit audit and thank both the division and the organizations for making it easy on each other. Pardon me. Thank the organizations for making it easy on the division, and thank the division for the work in conducting the audit.
Motion has been made. John, second. All in favor of that motion? Unanimous? Thank you. Kevin, item number 8. Miles, passed you up. Sorry. We voted for you, but we'll give you time.
Yeah, so I won't make you change your motion. Miles Moretti, Mildare Foundation. First of all, Jim, let me congratulate you on a long and industrious career, and the wildlife resource of the state owes you a deep sense of gratitude for all you've done. And there is life after state government, trust me. And but anyhow, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. And I just wanted to comment real quickly, thank the division for the conservation permit program. as you've heard many times, this is the envy of the West. We're able to put more money on the ground for habitat than any other state, and it's a great program. It's a credit to all the NGOs, groups that sell these permits, and I know there's been a lot of controversy this last year, and most of it centered around the convention permits, and people confused it with the conservation permits, but I think the audit process keeps us accountable and transparent, and I thank the division for that, and you know, I think those people that criticize the program don't take the time to really realize what the program's all about, how much good we accomplish, and so with that, I just thank you and thank the division for what they're doing.
Thank you, Miles. Okay, Kevin.
I think I'm on the agenda twice. This first one's an action log item. The second, or the first one's an action item. The second one on the annual report is action log. So let's go through this first. So this is the earlier in this year, you guys approved a block of permits that we allocated to the conservation permit program. And what I'm presenting now is how those permits have been now distributed amongst the groups. So just a little program history. I think everybody here is familiar with this, but I like to, it's good to reiterate. Anyway, it began in 1991 with a single desert bighorn sheep tag. It was expanded in 1994 with one permit per species, or until 1994. And then we began a period of fairly rapid growth, that is illustrated by the amount of money that it raised over the next blocks of years there. So from 1981 to 1998, $1.3 million. The next 5 years, $5.7 million. The next 5 years, $12.5 million. And then since 1981, the program's generated over $25 million. With that, the accomplishments, a lot of the money, and we've been careful. We try to direct as much of this money into habitat improvement as we can. And I think rightly so, that's where we will have the biggest payoff. And the best benefit for wildlife, but the groups and this and the funds from the conservation permit program have contributed to 322 different projects that account for over 302,000 acres in the last 5 years. Accomplished a lot of big game transplants, and including 561 sheep plus 50 more before the end of this week, as Jim mentioned earlier. Pronghorn transplants, our ability to put bison on the Book Cliff from the Henry Mountains wouldn't have been possible without the conservation permit program. It also helps us fund a lot of research that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. That's paying off in a lot of ways. The highway mortality that's influencing Department of Transportation funds and where crossing structures are put, and millions of dollars of transportation dollars are being leveraged to benefit wildlife as a result of some of that research. The effects of predator on mule deer, the Monroe Mountain study that we've talked about is ongoing. We're in the first, it's been going for about a year now. We're coming up on the end of the first year. The doe and fawn survival data that we're collecting is partially funded by the conservation permit program. The moose survival study that we're just starting now, and bear population estimates doing DNA are examples of some of the research that's funded through the conservation permit program. So we held the what we call the draft for these permits in on September 18th. The rule designates an order that based on market share that the different groups it allocates the order in which they can select permits based on the amount of money raised in the previous three-year period. So we followed that process. And then afterwards, there's a time period where the groups can trade permits. The values have to equal out. And we've completed that process as of October 19th. And you have a handout, and there's handouts over here that in detail give all the permits that each of the groups got. But just in general, we had 17 single-year permits. There's two groups, the Utah Bowman's Association and Ducks Unlimited, that are currently participating in the single-year program. And then we have six groups that are participating in the multi-year program, and you can see the number of permits there. There's a lot of strategy that goes in to this. Some of them select more lower-value permits, and others choose to select fewer higher-value permits. That really explains a lot of the difference in numbers of permits there. But in total, of the 317 permits that the board authorized or allocated, we've distributed 316 of those. There was a single cow elk permit left on the table. And it was left on the table because when we got to the end of the draft, the rule specifies how much money you have to have left and if you can go over, and nobody had enough money left to pick up that lonely cow elk permit in the end. So 316 of the 317 permits, we're recommending that they be distributed following the tables that you've been given. And with that, I thank you for your time. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions from the board? About the rack chairs, any questions from you men? Any questions from the audience? Okay, I have
got a question. I read in the, I think it was in the audit, the division, as they went around and participated in some of the, or attended some of the banquets and auctions, that they actually checked on the price that these things were sold for and made sure the groups turned in the right amount of money. Is that right?
Yeah. Greg can, I don't know if where did Greg go, if he wants to comment on that, but we have in policy that any of our employees, if they go to the banquets, that's their job while they're there, is to keep track, and then Greg collects those over the year, and as part of the audit process, compares them.
Yeah, in the audits that Sarah put together, it identifies how many of the permits that they were allocated that we verified at some of the different banquets and things. So it's not 100% of them, and it wasn't really intended to be, but just sort of a spot check.
I thought you were just there to be nice. I didn't know we were part of a sting operation. But
thing.
Okay, I have three comment cards. First, Roy, representing Utah Bowman.
Utah Bowman's Association. We actually applied for 14 tags. The 14th tag was a San Juan Archery deer tag that we was issued 2 years ago on a variance. We would like to request that again if the board would give us a variance to get that tag back. That's one of our best tags, but what we want to do with that tag is we've donated it to the Pope and Young convention, in which we did 2 years ago. It's one way a non-resident can archery hunt this unit is by buying this tag. There's no non-resident tags on this unit. So it gives the non-resident opportunity to purchase the tag at a banquet. And that banquet's in Dallas, Texas this year. And it's brought, I think we did, it sold for over $6,000 the first time we auctioned it off. And we had that tag for 2 years, and then it wasn't on the list this year. There's no archery tags in the auction process, so, but it wasn't on the 1 year, but we're asking for a variance, granted that we could get that tag back. And
when,
go ahead.
Can I ask you a question, Roy? When you say you donate it to the Pope and Young, you mean you donate the Bowman's Association 10%? Do they, you donate your 10%, the other 90% comes back just like, and they sell it at that event?
Yeah, they sell it at that event. All the money comes back, our 90%, but we do donate the 10% that they raise to that. And the 10% that we raise on all our other tags, we've been donating to the NAS program. So Yuba's not taking any of that 10% at all. We're trying to give it back. So
I got a question for you, too. Several years ago, we made a special provision for Pope and Young, who was bringing their national convention here to Utah. And I think we developed a separate rule for that at the time, vision within the rule. Does anybody recall what we did that year?
I don't
remember that. That provision is still around?
I don't. You know, I know what happened 2 years ago is we did request it, and it wasn't on the list. Did create a variance to let us create that tag. You have the power to do that.
As I remember it, it was a one-year variance for one tag.
Well, we actually...
And you brought up.
We actually kept it for 2 years. We actually auctioned it off last year, one of our largest tags we had. So it stayed in the one-year program, Ernie, is what happened there. Once we was issued it, we kept it for the last 2 years.
And why was it not included this year?
Kevin, I'd have to answer that.
It just wasn't issued into the one-year program. The one-year program doesn't have some of the select... That is a selective tag. It is a high-end tag. But.
Right. We kind of... There's no... The rule doesn't actually define exactly what goes into the one-year program. So we go... But what we do is we go through and pick the units that have the most conservation tags allocated to them. We take, you know, some of those out and so that we're... And give those to the opportunity to the single-year program. Whereas as that unit doesn't qualify for many tags, it's not one that we picked, you know, kind of based on the rule that we and the history that that's evolved with the program over years, it's not one that we had allocated to the single-year program.
Kevin.
Yes.
If that tag would have been part of the process, and as that process went through, he would have had to have drawn that as part of his allocation or traded for it some way also. Am I correct?
Well, that only works. That's only with the multi-year program. With the single-year program, Jake, what we do is we select a number of tags based on the criteria that I just mentioned, usually the units or the areas where there's several tags, and we send that list to the two groups that are part of the single-year program, and they choose from that list the ones they want. If there's one tag that they both want, then it's based on market share between in this case it's just Ducks Unlimited and the Utah Bowman's Association. So they're not involved in the draft. That's just the groups that are part of the multi-year program.
So you need a tag. You're looking for the tag to send to
Dallas.
Didn't you say we had a cow elk tag left over, Kevin?
Yeah, they'd like that one. This is a national convention. It gives Utah a very good look on what we're doing. We're actually going to send two tags back there. One will be an elk tag, and one we'd like to send this deer tag back.
So the variance would be
to allow us to
two or three part. First of all, you'd have to allocate a permit to a unit that it doesn't qualify to for. Then you would have to so there's at least two parts to that. Then you'd have to turn it into a conservation permit that would be beyond the allocation. Alan, can you shed any light on this, why we dropped that tag? Why we had it before, why it lasted 2 years, and then why it went away?
As far as that one specifically, I can't. The other question, I was listening upstairs, so I know some of the background. Alan Clark, assistant director. The provision for having a tag, a special tag, above and beyond the limits, applies to a statewide tag for a convention or event held here in Utah. So since that event isn't being held in Utah, it doesn't trigger that provision of the rule. And that's still in the rule. So the board could approve a second statewide conservation permit for a species if, let's say, that event was being held in Salt Lake City. So that doesn't. What we try to do is we try to use as a guide, and Kevin covered it a little bit. We look at where's the most, but we also try to look for hunts where there is a concert, where there is a, well, you know, we have the control as far as the numbers. So we have to trigger the 5%. So there has to be enough tags so that one tag rounded gets you to, you know, to the no more than 5%. So like if there are only four tags in a unit, we wouldn't allocate any tag for that unit. Then we look at dividing those between the multi-year and the single year. So I can't specifically, Kevin might know the the specifics on that one tag, but as far as on the in general, that's what we have to do. Is remember, I had a huge discussion about that percentage and rounding and amended the rule and all of that earlier this year.
I guess the question is, why did they have it for 2 years and now not?
Well, if it was a one-year tag, it had to be awarded 2 years in a row. It had to be on the list as eligible tags.
Right. And what happened there, I just looked it up. There's only three. The San Juan Elk Ridge only qualifies for three deer tags. And so with there only being three deer tags, we didn't choose to allocate one of those to the single-year program. There were three San Juan Elk Ridge deer tags that were allocated to the multi-year program. And that's a decision we made based on kind of the decision process that we go through that Alan and I described. So what would actually need to happen in my mind to make it to keep stay within the rule is one of the groups that got that one of the multi-year groups that drafted or that chose a San Juan mule deer tag would have to be willing to trade or to give that up to the single-year program. Otherwise, we're going to be in violation of the rule because we're going to issue more than 5% of the tags for that unit because it only qualifies for three.
Is there another unit, another permit that we could issue there that wouldn't put us in violation?
No, all the like I told you, the program qualified for 317. We've allocated 316 of those. The only thing left was of the tags that you guys approved to be allocated. The only thing left on the table to this point is a single cow elk tag.
Ernie?
Yeah, I've really got some reservations on this from a perspective of what's fair for you is fair for every other organization, and how many tags do we want to be handing out that are given for the national organizations and for whatever else, other reasons, as opposed to the one that we clearly defined, which was if you're bringing a big convention to Utah, we'll cut you a tag. That makes great sense to me from an economic development standpoint. And not sure I agree with expanding this on the spur of the moment.
And basically what I was asking, I'm pretty sure that the board has the ability to create a variance, correct, Jim, for that?
Can yeah,
they go
I believe,
over and above the rule?
I believe so. They'd have to go beyond what the rule allows.
And that's probably what I'm asking. I know I'm asking over and above what we're capable of having, but it's something we had, and it did us really good representation before. And we can work it out. We can give them a different tag. Takes it away from our pool, but I thought I'd give it a shot to see if you guys would do that for us. But I understand if you don't. I understand we all.
It looks like to me we got to go over and beyond what the rule would currently set in place would allow us to do it. I somewhat understand why it's happened before because the convention was here as opposed to not. But
well, the convention wasn't here. It was in Minnesota.
Was it?
When we got this tag before, it wasn't. You guys made a variance to give us another tag for this purpose. So it was, it did go outside the realm there. But done very well with Pope and Young. They really do appreciate it. But I understand the rules.
Alan?
In the past, the way an additional tag became available partway through, and if he's talking 2 years ago, that would have been the second year of the multi-year permits, is if we raised the public tags that were available, then it would make one more, got it above, so that it fell below so you could add one permit, we would at times make those available. The board did to the one-year program. So it wasn't like the one-year program was frozen for 3 years, because it is a one-year program. And so we had situations where the number of permits that we issued went up, and therefore it would generate another tag. So I suspect, that's how that tag became available in year two of the multi-year ones, but became available as a one-year, because we don't let the multi-year groups grab any additional tags that become available.
Okay.
So does that make any sense, Del? So it wasn't, sure. And then that they could do whatever they wanted with the tag as long as 90% of the money came back for the program. So,
okay. Need to wrap this up.
How often does Pope and Young have a convention?
They have it every 2 years.
Every 2 years?
Yeah. Every 2 years. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We've done it once.
We had a different
situation.
Different process before.
So we need to either make a motion or we're going to have to pass and move on. Marty.
I don't remember the specifics of this variance as it's been called. I'm not sure if I was here that day, but one thing to bear in mind is that the conservation permit rule doesn't have any variance authority in it. The only place we can find that is in the division's rule that allows the board to grant variances. Now, a few years ago, that rule was much more expansive than it is today. It was the authority under that was scaled back dramatically just a month. And I'm not quite sure that the request today for that San Juan deer permit would be.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you, Marty. Kevin? And
Marty, could you restate that, please? I think we had a problem picking it up. A two-sentence restate?
I just said the variance rule that existed 2 years ago has changed. That authority has been reeled back quite a bit, and the request here today for an additional conservation permit on the San Juan deer unit, I don't believe would fall within the variance authority that's granted by the rule today.
That's what we need to hear, man. Thank you, Marty. Kevin, did you want to add anything? Then I'm going to move on.
Well, just if you want an official recommendation on this from the division, and I don't think it was a variance. I think, as Alan explained, it was an extra tag became available because we increased public tags during the middle of the 3-year process, which then becomes so. I don't think it was a variance, and so that was probably misinterpreted. But as the guy who's in charge of the conservation permit program now and whose butt's hanging out there in a way. And given the scrutiny that this program's been under, my recommendation is that we stick with the rule. For the sake of the future of the program, I think we need to be squeaky clean right now. That's my recommendation.
Thank you. I'm going to turn it back to the board, and we're going to finish this up. There's a motion to change that. We'll go forward. If there's no motion, we're going to let it die.
According to Marty, I think Marty kind of told us we don't have the ability to make that change, if I understand him right.
The way I took it.
Not under the rule.
Okay. Yep. Thank you, Roy, but I think we're going to have to move on.
Utah Bowman's Association will be fine with it.
Okay.
I just thought we'd give it a try. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
All right. My next comment card is Bill Christensen from Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. Is he here? He's not here. Miles Moretti.
Miles Moretti, Mule Deer Foundation. I'll make this really quick. We support the division's recommendation on the conservation permit program. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the last of our comment cards. Let's turn it back to the board. We can make a motion or any discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I just think that, you know, the program, I think we made some good positive changes this year. I think that, you know, I've heard people say that there's no accountability. My opinion, this is the most audited, accounted for money on the planet. I think it's done, you know, a lot of good, and it's good to have something like this in the state. So I would make the motion that we accept as presented.
We'll have a second. Jake seconds it with a nod. The motion has been made to accept presentation. Those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Thank you. Our next item, I guess, is Kevin again. Annual report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, this is an action log item that through as the conservation permit rule came through the rack and board system earlier this year, the board passed a motion and put it on the action log for us to produce an annual report. So I've taken made a first attempt at that. And what I'd really like, and I'll go through it briefly. I think you received a copy of it. Hopefully you've looked at it. I've talked with the groups briefly about it. As it came through the system, it was really the basis of the request was to provide something for the conservation permit program that can be handed out to help promote and increase the understanding of the program. So I took my best shot at producing something like that, but I'm very open to comments and suggestions and whatnot. So really what I'd like to solicit through this presentation is just that everybody look through that, and if you have any suggestions, I want to make it a product that fits the purpose for why the board asked us to produce it, and so we're more than willing to change it and make it what it was meant to be. So just briefly, what's in the report currently is an overview of the program, you know, what the conservation permit program's about, what it was meant to accomplish. A description of how the program works relative to the board approving permits and those permits being auctioned and what happens with the money. Talks about the benefits of the program. Lists the participating groups. Gives detailed explains how people can get real detailed information about the projects in response to Mike's question earlier. Talks about how the program's audited, and then what we added at the bottom is a table, a table of projects for each group, and this is just an example. In the report, you'll see one for each group. But what it does, just for fiscal year 12, which is from July 1st of 2011 through June 30th of 2012, there's a table for each group. Talks about, shows every project that they contributed funds to, whether it's a single year, a multi-year project, whether it's research or habitat related. What the current status of the project is, as I said, that's available for each group. So that's how it's made up to this point. I've already had a few suggestions from the participating groups on some more presenting some of this information more graphically, so it's more visual for people. And I think that's a good suggestion, and we can figure out how to put that in. But I'm very open to additional suggestions if you have any on questions that you may have heard in the past that isn't covered by the report as it's currently put together. So that's all I have. But again, over the next several weeks, I'd be open to getting input in as people go through that, go through the annual report. So feedback is really what we're looking for at this point. Thank you.
Comment from the board?
Just as a quick feedback, I like the tables too. I'd like to see acreage treated or thousands of yards of fence put in, something so the average reader can get a better idea of what was done.
Yeah, and we had to, because of the size of that table as it is, I had to kind of pick and choose what I thought was otherwise it'd get so small it wouldn't be legible. even to put on it landscape. But anyway, we can. There's going to be a trade-off there, but we can certainly look at that. So
I'd say just have enough pictures there, so when we describe a project as a chaining or a seeding or a lop and scat or something, a picture there that so that somebody that right. maybe isn't
exactly
somebody that isn't acquainted with that can look and see, oh well, when I drive down the road and see that, I know that's what's happening and that's that project. So
but a bull hog isn't actually a pig that we send out to
yeah
go.
Something like that, you know.
Oh, that's a good idea.
But I'm excited to see this happening. I think this is going to be good. So
good. I think
thanks
that's
for your
a,
efforts.
I think that's a good suggestion, John. There's some pictures of what exactly a lop and scatter versus a bull hog versus whatever so that people can get a visual at a chaining and whatnot. So good idea.
And my first impression when I read through the report was it's outstanding. So I'm not
no, thank
sure
you,
it can
Amy.
Be adjusted, but it's a great start.
Amy deserves a lot. Amy Canning deserves a lot of the credit because she put all that material on the web initially, and I plagiarized it for the report. So,
if I remember right, I think it was John that made that recommendation, and I thank you for it. It was a great idea.
Well, I think it'd been talked about by a lot of different people, and it's just a good thing for the division to have. So I'm excited about it, and I think it's going to
yeah.
be
so
totally
between,
positive.
Between the members of the board and the groups, help me make it what you had envisioned so that it's a useful product. That I that's what we want to have happen. So,
and my comments will be that I'll meet you and Bruce at the Little Wonder Cafe, and we'll talk about it.
Sounds good. It's
all right.
You're on, Jake, and you're buying, right?
Okay. End of discussion. If there is, let's have a motion.
This was just an informational item.
Yeah, this is just information, so I think we just everybody gives him his input. And
there's action on my list. I think we want to just at least make it. Okay.
We're good. Thank you, Kevin. I think that, like I said, I'm excited.
Great. Thank you.
Good.
All right. Stacy, we're on. Do you want to do the rack and board dates, or shall we go into this? Let's do that and then go into the session.
Okay. It'll be real quick. I'm Stacy Coons, Wildlife Board Coordinator. You were all sent the proposed dates for 2013 for all the rack and board meetings. They line up very similar to what we did in 2012. There's very few changes, if any, in there. So I'll take any of your questions, comments, or approval.
Any comments, changes, tweaks?
I went through it and I couldn't find anything, so I thought it was a good job.
It looks good to me, Stacy.
Thank you.
August 16th, is that Friday?
Wouldn't that be like the Friday before the bow hunt, really?
I don't have meetings on a Friday. Which one are you looking at? If it's on a Friday, I'll shift it. Meetings end last
yes,
day
you
Thursday,
will.
But I don't think it's on.
Board meeting.
I have a board meeting on August 21st and 22nd, which is a Wednesday and a Thursday because it's a new board member training and a new RAC board training. So. So, no, it's not on a Friday.
It does say in your sheet here, board meeting August 16th.
Okay. Let's go off this one.
That's what we're looking at.
I'm thinking around about whether they're saying you send us faulty information.
Could be. Could we just approve this one?
We better have a close look at that, Stacy. I saw it on the website.
Thank you, Jake.
We approve whatever Stacy says.
I'll take it. Done.
With the caveat that we have no meetings on a Friday, please.
No meeting. I don't okay. work Fridays. So.
You work other days.
Doesn't work.
I get paid for other days, and we'll leave it at that.
What's the conflict, Ernie?
I'll fix it. It's the 22nd.
22nd.
I'm sorry I stepped out, but is that August meeting going to be a two-day?
It's the RAC board training because you'll have new board members.
So the dates are the?
Wednesday, Thursday. You will all need to attend. You are in desperate need of training.
Okay, let's make a motion.
Jake made a motion. Can we get a second?
Okay, a second. How did you? Second to approve the spreadsheet, right?
Yes.
The dates on the spreadsheet.
I'll second it if nobody.
Okay, been motion made and seconded to approve the dates on the 2013 dates as shown on the spreadsheet from Stacy. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Been unanimous. Okay, with that, Stacy, we're ready to go to our hearing. Yep.
The attorneys can come. So if you want to give me 5 minutes to make some microphone adjustments, we'll be ready to go.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.